a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lino Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Diarrhea is one of the leading child killers in the world. More than 750,000 children die from diarrheal diseases each year. Experts say rotavirus is the leading cause of severe diarrheal death among children worldwide. However, though, the disease can be prevented with a vaccine. Other diseases such as measles and polio are also vaccine preventable. But the World Health Organization says about 1.5 million children die each year from vaccine-preventable diseases. Over 15% of these mortalities occur among children under the age of 5 in developing countries where children don't have access to vaccines. Experts and advocates are gathering this week here in Washington to rally the American public, members of Congress and civil society partners around the need to expand access to vaccines to children in developing countries. The Shot at Life is a campaign spearheaded by the United Nations Foundation. And joining us for more on the subject is Dr. Eugenia Merchant Cooper. Dr. Merchant Cooper is from Liberia and is currently a pediatrician in South Carolina. Dr. Cooper, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. Also joining us on the phone is Joe Frost, one of the Shot at Life global advocates and a TV personality celebrity who has starred in the Super Nannies for many years, the very famous show Super Nanny. Joe Frost, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you with us. And we will start discussing the importance of vaccination and the Shot at Life campaign in a moment. But first, VOA's Lisa Schlein has this report.
Gavi says it is reaching record numbers of children with life-saving vaccines. It says more countries than ever are introducing new vaccines, averting many deaths and improving the health and well-being of millions of people. Pneumonia and diarrhea are the two biggest child killers in the world. The price of the pneumococcal and rotavirus vaccines, which protect against these illnesses, has gone down dramatically, making them affordable for children in developing countries. Gavi introduced pentavalent vaccines in 2001 with the aim of reaching all 73 Gavi-eligible countries by 2014. These vaccines offer protection against five diseases: diphtheria, tetanus pertussis, hepatitis, and Haemophilus influenzae type B. Gavi Chief Executive Officer Seth Berkley says the widespread use of these vaccines in the poorer countries is an essential step towards achieving the Millennium Development Goal of reducing the under-5 mortality rate by two-thirds by 2015. He says pentavalent vaccines now are available in 72 of the 73 Gavi countries.
The last country which will have this vaccine rolled out is Southern Sudan, which will be rolled out in first quarter of next year. And, of course, Southern Sudan was not a country when Gavi began the rollout of this vaccine. So this vaccine now is becoming the normal vaccine in the world, and that is, for us, a big deal.
Despite these successes, Dr. Berkley says challenges remain in a number of fragile countries. For example, he tells VOA, some 22 million children are not being fully immunized against diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. The largest number is in India, followed by Nigeria and Ethiopia. In these fragile countries, he says it is important to improve the reliability of supply chains, improve in-country data collection, and adopt tailored approaches toward immunization.
So instead of having the same mechanism for every country, we work with different countries in different ways. So Afghanistan, for example, has made a decision that it would use non-governmental organizations to do most of its distribution. So the government then contracts out the work that Gavi does and the supply of vaccines. But our goal at the end is to try to work with each country and help them. During the recent disturbances in Mali, for example, we worked very hard to make sure that vaccines kept going during that period. And we're able to do that.
Dr. Berkley says vaccines are widely recognized as one of the most cost-effective public health tools, providing the best possible protection against vaccine-preventable diseases. He says that means every child must have access to all 11 of the vaccines the World Health Organization recommends. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that was VOA's reporter, Lisa Schlein. Dr. Cooper, Ms. Frost, again, thank you so much for joining us. Let me start with you, Dr. Cooper. And I wanted to start with the very basics. Help us understand what vaccines are and how they work, because up until now, some people are still not very knowledgeable about what they are. There are people out there who are very skeptical. So perhaps we need to go to from the basics before we continue this discussion.
Thank you for having me. Vaccines are basically what protects us from diseases like measles, polio, and all of these different diseases that kill kids worldwide who don't have access to them. They're basically made out of either parts of the germs that cause the diseases or the weakened forms or life forms. And they're made so that they don't cause disease themselves, but it challenges the body to make a protection. So what's called immunity, so that if the body is exposed to these diseases, it has the protection to fight them so that you don't get sick. It kind of exposes you and makes your body know that this thing doesn't belong here, so that it builds up an immunity so that when you actually get in contact with a disease, if you're already protected because your body has form antibodies that will, for all intents and purposes, call them soldiers, and an army that will fight so that you don't get sick. And that's basically what vaccines are. And they're tested over and over and over before they come to the general public. So nobody is giving you anything that will cause you to get the real disease or to get sick and either die or have polio and be crippled or anything like that. Generally, it brings these things to you in small forms or weakened forms so that you're protected when you're exposed.
Okay, and when we talk about vaccine, I know in my introduction I talked about children and how they need some very critical vaccine to prevent some diseases, but also vaccines are being administered to adults. Very often, in what cases do adults need vaccine? I know of diseases like yellow fever before you travel in some tropical countries, but give us a sense of when adults will need a vaccine.
The example that you gave is very good, like vaccines that adults need would be like the meningitis vaccine, especially for people that are in the army or college students who are already adults because they live in dormitories and they can get these diseases and die. Mm-hmm. So like a meningitis shot, the yellow fever, like you talked about. Even now, the chickenpox that adults get when they're younger that can cause them to have shingles, there is a vaccine for that now. So the adults can get vaccines in different contexts. And, of course, the pneumonia vaccine that adults get to protect them from getting pneumonia. So there's a lot of vaccines that adults can get.
Okay. Now, Mrs. Frost, let me come to you. You are one of the advocates of the Shot at Life campaign, a global advocate. First and foremost, can you help us understand what this campaign is about?
This campaign is about giving children around the world exactly a shot at life. This campaign is really bringing awareness and attention the importance of global immunization and recognizing that all children should be treated equal and to have access to these vaccinations, because vaccines truly open the door for child development and growth to allow children to have what we take for granted in countries like America, United Kingdom, the firsts and the seconds and the thirds of children's lives as they're growing up, especially as we know the mortality rate with respect to children dying every 20 seconds from those that have no access to vaccines. You know, as somebody who is a family advocate and a champion for the Shot at Life summit here in Washington, D.C., it's about recognizing the importance of us all coming together in the world so that we give our children these firsts to be able to celebrate their first walk, crawl, when they first cut their tooth, how we celebrate their first birthdays. And we are looking at very alarming statistics of women around the world who walk absolutely for hours to obtain seriously these vaccinations to be able to give their children's life. And I think really what we're looking at is really empathy and education, so that the more we can come together and understand the importance of being able to provide global immunization for every child, for every family, then what we understand really is the importance of humanity in this world and being able to give every child an opportunity of life. So it's very poignant, the campaign name, A Shot at Life, is truly being able to give every family a shot at life.
So, Ms. Frost, you mentioned the fact that in some parts of the world, women walk miles and miles for to have access to these vaccines. Some women don't even have access to these vaccines. And however, in some other parts of the world where women have access to these vaccines, and let me just be more specific, here in the United States, there was recently a measles outbreak, and we've seen some parents in interviews saying that they will refuse to vaccinate their children because of this reason or that reason. And they are not the only parents. I'm sure there are, in other countries, there are parents who are skeptical about vaccinating their children. Now, what is your reaction to this paradox when we see that some parents don't have access to vaccine for various reasons and other parents have access, but they refuse to vaccinate their children? And it's the right in some cases.
I'm here to encourage, as a trusted voice, as a global trusted voice. I work with families around the world, and I spend an enormous amount of time encouraging families at their most challenged times with respect to creating more harmonious and happier moments. And for those women who are skeptical of vaccinations, I really would encourage them, as a parental expert, to gather the correct data that is out there, because it does support the importance of all of our children being vaccinated. And unfortunately, here in the States, we have been, many families have been misguided and have been given incorrect information and have been falsely misled, certainly by those that have the power and the influence of the media. And it has led to this skepticism, and as you know, it has led to a measles outbreak in America that we're still seeing now. It goes without saying that one has to be able to collect the correct information, then to gather that data. They will see for themselves. The proof is there, the data is there, that vaccines save lives, you know. One can't argue the facts. So I would encourage those to be able to get the correct information so that they can actually see for themselves. Unfortunately, some of those families are more persuaded by hearsay and lip service that really doesn't carry any weight.
Okay.
And so the importance of being able to educate oneself and to be able to talk to your pediatricians and to be able to have that open dialogue and to ask those questions, I believe will certainly settle those parents who have been seemingly rather skeptical and fearful of being able to vaccinate. And they will see themselves that the proof is there, and the importance of being able to vaccinate is to be able to give their children a shot at life. At the end of the day, we want to be the best parent we can be, and by doing that is to understand our responsibility in being able to protect our young and to be able to make sure that we are being able to, you know, give our children the opportunity of life and to grow and to develop into the healthy adults that we want them to become, and to be socially aware of how your decisions affect other families, not just in your state, in your country, but in the world as well. Mm-hmm. To me, this is a social responsibility, a moral one.
Okay.
And the importance of that, I can't emphasize enough.
Okay. And we are going to take a very short break and continue the conversation when we come back. So Dr. Cooper and Mrs. Frost, please stick around or we'll be right back.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. I'm Lenore Moudou, and if you're just joining us, our topic today is vaccination, preventing childhood disease, and the importance of vaccination. Our guest, Dr. Eugenia Merchant Cooper, she's currently a pediatrician in South Carolina, and also TV celebrity Joe Frost. She's one of the Shot at Life global advocate, and you may have seen her on the show, Super Nanny. Ladies, again, thank you for joining us. Dr. Cooper, I'd like to ask you this question. We understand that vaccination is very important in different parts of the child's development. Can you give us a sense of the type of vaccines that a child will need, let's say at birth, perhaps for the first 6 months? If I don't know how many vaccines that a baby will need up until he's 6 months or a year, but if you can just give us a couple of the very important vaccines that a baby needs to ensure that he can grow healthy.
Thank you. Most times at birth, a baby does not get vaccines right away unless, of course, if we have a mom that has hepatitis B, then we have to protect that baby, because once we don't give the baby the shots that a baby needs at birth with the mother that has hepatitis B, that child can get hepatitis B, and it can go on to actually develop cancer of the liver later on in life. So that's the only time, for the most part, that you would give a baby shots at birth. Most babies, the shots are scheduled at 2, 4, and 6 month intervals for the first 6 months of life. And then the next round of shots you get at 12 months, which is when you get the measles and rubella and chickenpox shots and stuff like that. So at the first visit, the first shot visit, the kid gets at least 3 shots, which are hip that protects them from getting hemophilus. You get the Prevnar that it's a combination of vaccines that actually protect them from meningitis, from pneumonia, from rotavirus, the virus that causes diarrhea and dehydration and stuff that kills most children worldwide. Mm-hmm. Not in America, because we're privileged to have all of these shots protect us, but in third world countries like Liberia, of course, they don't have access to most of these vaccines. So, of course, the kids can die from diarrhea and dehydration, pneumonia, a whole host of diseases.
Yeah.
Those shots are given at 2, 4, and 6 month intervals. And your pediatrician will give you the schedule when you go for the visit. And between 6 and 9 months, if you miss any of those shots, then we kind of get you caught up. And what's happening these days, even though you're being protected against a whole bunch of diseases, they work so hard to get those vaccines to be combined into one or two, so that instead of getting vaccines, 5 different vaccines for 5 different diseases, you can get combination vaccines.
Okay. And Ms. Frost, a campaign like A Shot at Life that has been ongoing for the past 4 years, can you tell us about the type of difference that you've seen that the campaign has been able to make? What has been accomplished so far?
Well, like I mentioned before, we're seeing drastic improvement with respect to life, mortality, and I think that's what's incredibly important when you look at the percentages every year with respect to life. And I think really, you know, the message that we're really sending is making sure that everybody can understand that these vaccine-preventable diseases are out there for every family, and that's really the message that we do want to bring home. I mean, 15.8 million vaccines are sent. I mean, that's the equivalent to 1.5 million children advocated for.
Uh-huh.
That's a 200 million increase in U.S. funding alone. So when you look at those numbers, they're absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Uh-huh. Now, so
I'd like to take the opportunity,
yes,
to actually mention that I would love to ask all of your viewers that will be listening today for a donation of $20, you can immunize a child against 4 of the most deadly and disabling diseases. And that in itself, to be a part of what we are doing here today, would be incredible. So I truly, very honestly, I'm asking those that are listening today, if one could donate $20, that's all I ask, is $20, to actually be able to help families in the world from global immunization for 4 deadly diseases, the rotavirus, pneumonia, measles, and polio.
And Ms. Frost, let me ask you this, and this is something that we've come across sometimes, at least in my line of work. Why should someone in the United States care? This campaign is geared toward people living here so that can contribute to help people in the developing world. Why should they care?
Why should they not? We're talking about families.
Mm.
We're talking about life. We're talking about humanity. No, we're talking about creation. Why would we not? Why would we not? And this is about the importance of us having the education at our fingertips, and the empathy to understand that what we so take for granted every day, we have families around the rest of the world fighting for and going to long lengths just to get access to what we have on our doorstep. It's about us understanding and having the ability to be able to help. We're all family. We're all somebody's sisters, auntie, brother. We are, some of us, our parents ourselves. raising our young. So if I ask every viewer who's listening, I would ask them to take just a moment of their time and to emotionally connect with those firsts, with their children, so that they are able to understand the importance of being able to give everybody else in life who are fighting for access a shot at life. For those children that don't have that, and I think it's incredibly important that we understand that in numbers we can impact the world. We can truly impact the world and make a difference every year. You see the United Nations Foundation coming together with their Shot at Life campaign, and we're seeing a drastic change every year in improving the quality and the mortality rate. So I ask everybody to take a moment, please, when you are with your own child, when you are at those birthday parties, when you are celebrating the first with your own family and friends, to take a moment and to think of others in the world and to be able to make a difference.
And so, Dr. Cooper, when speaking, when you look at, I would like you to share your experience with us, working on the ground, if you've worked in some African countries, perhaps Liberia, what would you tell us in terms of moving forward some of the main steps that need to be taken in addressing this issue? Of course, Ms. Frost mentioned the importance of funding, and this is a reality not only for vaccination but in so many other areas of health and development. But besides funding, where do you think that the emphasis need to be put so that we address this issue?
Thank you. First, I would like to add to what Joe said, because the reason, one of the reasons we should care is because germs do not need passports to travel. We've seen in the most recent measles outbreak, America was declared free of measles. But guess what? We have it back here now, and it's spreading across the country. And that's simply because there were some people that have access to vaccines and chose to not vaccinate. However, we have these moms and dads back in Africa and other countries that want their kids to be vaccinated. And that's why we need to support Shot at Life, because if we protect people where they are, then we can feel safer where we are, because then we know the disease is not going to come here, or even if it does, we're protected. Case in point, we've seen what Ebola did. At first, it was the Liberian and Guinean stuff, but it traveled.
Yes.
It came to America.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't reach out, we who are in a position to help, if we don't reach out to help, it's still going to come right to our back door.
Okay.
And the reason, the other reason I'm passionate about this is because I've worked on both sides of the Atlantic, so I've seen firsthand what not having vaccines can do and what it can do if you have vaccines to protect.
Okay.
I've seen children with measles. I've seen them develop pneumonia and cough until they blow up like the Michelin tire man. But on the other hand, my patients in South Carolina that have taken the vaccines are protected.
Okay. Okay. And for quickly before we end, perhaps Ms. Frost, you can respond to this question. Where can people find more information if they want to support the campaign?
Yes, for those supporting the campaign and wanting to become a champion to help to spread the word, the information, and the correct information, more importantly,
yes,
please go to shotatlife.org. Shotatlife.org.
Okay, shotatlife.org, and that will be our last information there. Miss Ms. Frost, Jo Frost, advocate, global advocate for Shattered Life, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Eugenia Merchant Cooper, we appreciate your time and expertise on the subject. And that's all the time we have. Thanks to all our listeners for being with us today. For more on the show, log on to voanews.com/health or check us on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Mudo in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.